all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dellavedova. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking rolling with Big Duke Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will that thrills and Kai Soto from the Phils, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. Will the Bullets be a force with Sobey and Tyrell when the Law's headed west? Only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22.
G'day listeners, we're back with Banksy and Boydie, the basketball bloke, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And as I have alluded to, we are Benny-less tonight as we record here. He's currently a little bit under the weather. It's not the
very, very late scratching.
Very late scratching. It's not the COVIDs. But as you will probably hear in this, Benny is our, what is he, Banksy? He's our rundown man. He's our dad jokes. He's our writer. He's our he doesn't tell us.
He's the constructor. Constructor.
Yes. He's quasi taken over as host. He is all those things, but he's a humble man, so he doesn't like to.
So what you're saying is this could be an absolute disaster with us two running the show.
Could be a disaster. That's right. As
we'll do just fine.
For the last half an hour, Banks and I have been talking about this and talking about the show tonight. And look, I basically wing it, and Banksy is fairly prepared.
I'm a planner.
So I don't know how this is going to turn out, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get all the little sound clips and all that sort of jazz put in. Oh, that's right. The other thing Benny does is he's the editor. So let's see how we go, I guess. We might even just start off with the review.
Let's do it.
Who's ready for another sob story from Benny? It's time for the NBL Fantasy Round Review.
So the review for the week, well, I thought we'd chuck this in, Banksy. We haven't done this every week lately, probably because a certain person's been winning top bloke every week just about. And the other two, who shall remain nameless, have been fighting it out for who's ordinary bloke this week. But seeing as Benny's not here, and he's the ordinary bloke, we might do it. What do you think?
Well, we must do it. I was disappointed we didn't do it last week, and it's something I have not looked forward to for the last 3 years of us doing this. But it's something I'm very interested in these days.
That's right. So Benny, with the cancelled game, obviously the JJ's v New Zealand game being cancelled late or postponed, sorry. Benny ended up the ordinary bloke on 427 points for the round. I got lucky with McCarron being on my bench. On my starting lineup for Majette in the end, because I was a bit worried about that game getting cancelled with JJ.
Triple-double, so watch.
Lucked out with Macca there. He gave me he ended up getting me the average bloke for the week at 461. But hang on a second, This bloke just keeps on keeping on. Still currently ranked first, is it, Banksy?
Yeah, 3 out of 4 weeks, still up there, number one.
Still a good 40 odd points ahead of second at the moment as well.
That's so nothing. A little bit, but they're coming up. There's a lot on my tail there. And I've had a look through the top 10, and there's some really good teams out there. So anything can happen from week to week. Scored 535 last week. For those that are interested, managed to get an upgrade in just through planning.
Yep.
Traded Vic Law and Kyle Zunick to Reef and Jalen Adams. So it was good to get that point. Although I would have expected a bit more from Reef. Yep. He was probably outplayed by Sam Froehlich, of course. But, yeah, Jalen Adams up from Zunich. That's going to be a good long-term trade.
Like it. And obviously, you know, as we talked about the scores, yeah, it finished up on 535 points for the round, over 100 points more than Benny, which is huge, really, I think. And look, I was looking in trouble until Macca came out and had a 64 or whatever he ended up having in the end. So, you know,
I lost some of my league games. There was, I think it was a guy I played that scored over 600. At the end of the day, I had a zero at small forward because I had Travers and McVeigh still there.
Yep.
And then obviously the cancelled game as well. So there were certainly teams out there that went a lot higher than me over the 600 mark. Could have been bigger.
Crazy. All right. I think that's enough for the review. Let's get on to some fantasy news.
NBL Fantasy News.
Now, this is where we normally have Benny's expertise. This is his part of the podcast. But obviously, the comeback win over Sydney was the only positive for the Breakers, unfortunately, as their game versus the JJs, as we know, was postponed. And we've since learned that the Breakers now have, of course, their Cairns clash in next round cancelled this week, which leaves them on a donor. And as we know, there's a heavy ownership for players like Wetzel and Jeremiah the Bullfrog Martin, and a lot of people who were looking really good jumping on Siva, unfortunately lose that, and now the Breakers only have the one game over the next fortnight, importantly. Simon Brookhouse said that it's his understanding was that only six Breakers could suit up, and that's the reason for the cancellation. They can't field enough players to actually play the game. And the JJs, they obviously had their own outbreak as well, as we heard. And Scott Roth, he said that it's difficult because it's a respiratory disease, and he's glad that they didn't have a game last week, obviously giving them a little bit more time as well.
Simon Brookhouse, obviously the CEO of the Tasmanian team, Jack Jumpers.
Yep.
Only six of them there, which is, I mean, there's a couple of teams that loaded up on those, on the New Zealand triple. I think there's even one of our Patreon supporters might have even had up to four New Zealanders. New Zealand,
I know
players.
Who you're talking about. What's his name? What's his
TLG,
name?
TLG.
There you go.
TLG, I think.
Call him out.
He had four. he was chirping, lots of chirping.
Loves a bit of banter.
So obviously the cancelled game or the postponed game didn't work out well. Now, as you mentioned Siva there, now he's so cheap that you can afford to just park him on the bench. I wouldn't be worried if your third breaker was Siva. It'd be the guys that, you know, maybe loaded up on the four players, like I mentioned there, might have Finn Delaney, might have Yarni, might have Jeremiah Martin.
Yeah, and I agree.
Siva or something. That, I mean, the Siva you can live with. It's one of those other two guys you have to run with a zero this week and then only the single next week. That probably hurts a little bit more, I would say, because they're a bit more higher price. But you could trade them out next week, really.
If I traded Siva in, he would be the last breaker I would be trading. And obviously, we were thinking longer term. All three of us were pretty big on Jalen over Siva last week. But look, even from what I imagine, Siva really overachieved. He looked really good, even though he's still coming off the bench. He was still a go-to for the Breakers, and he looked really good. So he's still underpriced, and he's still going to get, you know, probably a good 2 to 3 weeks of that 100K rise, I'd imagine, from what he's put up there. So with the lack of cash cows, I'd definitely be parking him on the bench longer term. Yep.
And while we're talking about the mix-up there, I guess Charlie Horse, one of our patrons, had to support a question for us. Should we be avoiding players on those teams who are coming off weeks off re-COVID, are we avoiding the Taipans this coming week? Stats would possibly lean towards this. Let's see how Perth go tomorrow. So obviously this question was earlier in the week. We saw how Perth went. They were pretty rusty, especially early. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, without going into too much detail, the stats don't lie, and the stats say that teams coming back from those COVID layoffs where players are off with COVID are definitely seeing a drop in fantasy production. And as we can see on the court with you know, Perth this week and maybe New Zealand previous weeks, you know, it's having an impact.
And this is where Benny comes into play. He obviously sends out that fantastic stats pack and newsletter weekly to our Patreon subscribers. And he highlighted exactly that this week, that, you know, the fantasy impact of these games where teams are coming straight back out of COVID restrictions. And in short, he's got there that there's been a 30-plus fantasy point reduction in fantasy points as a team compared to a team's average per game. And not only that, but those impacted teams are also conceding a significant amount more fantasy points to the opposing team. So there's obviously a theme there and something to be conscious of, because we've got other teams that are fighting through that obviously now, like the JJs and Cairns. So,
absolutely. I think Cairns is a tricky one, though, because they, I mean, they're going to be a bit rusty because they haven't played a game. And I think their last game was New Year's Eve, maybe. But as you saw,
Adelaide says hi.
Yeah, well, Adelaide had 28-day gap, I think it was, or 31-day gap or whatever it was. It was exactly a month, I think. But they played really well. And they didn't look, you know, out of touch, except for maybe a couple of
not
players that we'll mention a bit later. We'll talk about those in the questions, I think, a bit later. But, you know, McCarron popping up having a 64, you know, DJ was good, Bairstow was good, et cetera. So I guess it depends on who gets it. As you know, knowing quite a few people, like my old man has COVID and my in-laws have it at the moment, and obviously Banksy's had it, and plenty of other people we know as well. Look, it depends on the individual. Some people get smashed around by it massively, some people don't. So it's one of those things we can't really say, you know, positively it's going to have a huge impact. I think I'll mention this quickly when we go into a good segue into the Dr. Boyd segment a bit later. But I think McCall was even the one that said recently that his the break has been the COVID enforced sort of break, because they've missed out on games for three or four rounds now, it feels like, that it's helped with his knee injury, because you know, it's kept him sort of fresh and he hasn't been playing games. So, you know, sometimes it can, you know, it can work out for the good. And I think Cairns might be a bit of a different issue, obviously, because they're missing the last couple of games they've missed because of other teams. It hasn't been them with COVID. I know they did have it in 1 week. It was their COVID layoff. But, you know, after that, I think it's been other teams that have caused their games to go.
Yeah. They're not straight out of it necessarily.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Like Perth were with the game on Tuesday night, and like other teams have been previously. So, yeah, but it's going to be a bit touch and go. I'm not sure I'd say I'd completely avoid them. And then for other reasons, you might want to be looking at the Taipans, which we'll talk about a bit later as well. So I think, seeing as I sort of segued into it, maybe let's go into a bit of Dr. Boyd.
The Injury Report with Dr. Boyd.
So the new injuries that we had this week, we had obviously heartbreaking RJ Hunter season-ending knee injury. It didn't look good straight away.
Got a feel for the Kings. Like,
yeah,
I know. How many times? Yep. In such a small part of the season, it's his second or third stint out. So,
yeah, like I think I mentioned it on our last pod last week. I thought he was like possibly a little bit of a sneaky pick. You know, he had that first game where he came out and had 27 fantasy points in only 12 minutes on the court.
Unreal.
In round one, you know, and you're thinking, here we go.
Obviously. And I had him in the preseason videos that we did as well. And I was watching his G League highlights and that, and looking at his numbers. I was huge on him. I was really looking forward to having him in my team throughout the season. So, No good.
Unfortunately, so he's out for the year now. So that's two at Sydney. So obviously they've got Jordan Hunter that's out already for the season as well. Tad, the Duffman, in Adelaide, missed the game on Tuesday night with a foot injury, so no other updates from that one yet. And that's about it from there. Likely return this week, like we said, McCall, saying, you know, since the New Year's Eve game, he is, they obviously haven't played Cairns, so he was going to be playing this week by the sounds of it. Said the days off are helping tremendously. I can't complain about that. It's been a blessing in disguise. It gives me a lot more time to strengthen to make sure I'm back completely. So never fear, McCall owners, if you are still hanging on to him, even though they haven't played for a couple of rounds. It looks like you're going to get McCall coming back, smashing it from day one, I reckon. A couple of returns last round. We had Sunday Desch come back. We had Todd Blanchfield come back. And we had the Humph come back, although he sort of, I think they just mentioned on the coverage he was coming. He was just out of COVID protocols and didn't take the court until the third quarter.
Oh, he is going to be cheap, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He is.
He has already shred almost 300K of his starting price.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people started with him. Even Benny started with him at that price. Yep. And now he's not just 300K cheaper now, but he's now got a 7 in his rolling score.
Might even be more if he has another game where he only plays 6 minutes or whatever he did on Tuesday night. The other injuries to monitor, just to finish off there, Scotty Machado originally stated for a return about 7 to 9 weeks. I think we're kind of getting close there. I think it might be about 5 weeks since he did it, maybe even 6. So keep an eye out on the Cairns Twitter.
They're usually why is that important, Boydy?
Oh, because he's getting cheap, my friend.
Not just that. Why else is that important? Because Cairns have the most games left for the season.
Hang on. We're going to go to the schedule now, are we? Hang on.
Failing to plan is planning to fail. It's time for the Schedulizer.
Oh, how smooth was that, Banksy?
Probably not as smooth as when Benny's here, but we do our best. Now, obviously, we almost got through a full round of games without any cancellations. We almost got there. Okay, but the good news, look, as we've been sort of experiencing over the past few weeks, is we're just sort of always waiting throughout the week for these change of schedules. And, you know, we've got to late Thursday night and there haven't been any changes. So I think we're fair to say we're not going to get a schedule reshuffle next week. However, obviously had the one cancellation already with New Zealand now rocking a donut in round 8. And Cairns now joining Perth and Tassie on a single, as we head into round 8. Now, obviously, looking at the schedule and planning your trades, I would obviously definitely be targeting Hawks and 36ers. They're the only teams with at least a double in each of the next 3 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks' best schedule have 7 games over the next 3 weeks. Adelaide the 6, so they're the standout teams. You know, you want to compare that to your Cairns, United, New Zealand and even Perth. They've all got just the 4 games, if you want to put it in asterisks, at this stage over the next 3 weeks. It's going to come a point where Cairns must have a blistering schedule because, they have the most games by far to come compared to all the other teams.
That's it. Because as it stands, post round 11, Cairns have 18 games remaining, whereas some teams, so the lowest is Sydney on 13. So you've got a full 5 games more from Cairns over the last, you know, however many rounds they do. I think it was scheduled to be 20, wasn't it? So there's another 9 rounds after that. So Cairns are looking at having 18 games in 9 rounds, whereas you've got 9 rounds. Sydney are only looking at having 13 games at after post round 11. So, and the information we're getting this from, so jump on to www.basketballblokes.com/schedule. That's where we put our schedulizer up. We're updating it as quick as we can. There's a few asterisks on there and some explanations about asterisks and all that sort of stuff because of the world we're living in at the moment. But that's where you can see where we're quoting from at the moment.
And it's good because it's got games played up to now, so you know how many games have passed. But most importantly, games left per club. So really important. Going forward, I mean, there's going to be very high ownership, you'd imagine, for the likes of McCall for that reason alone. Okay, so worth mentioning with looking at the schedule, obviously triples. Okay, so Brisbane, as we know, they've got the triple this week, but importantly, they've got a single the following 2 weeks. So
yes,
You're going to stack up on them, probably not for that reason, but you probably want to have a captain on the triple as a result. Yes. Hawks also have a triple. That's not for a little while, but in round 10. But again, it's followed by a single there as well. So how hard do you go on these triple teams when you know that the following week they're going to be hit with a single and you've only, as we know, got the two trades a week?
Like it, mate. I think we've covered everything off in the singles there. We've got quite a few questions, so should we jump into them?
Let's do it.
Need an adjudication on who to trade in this week? How about a ruling on who to sit or start? Let's see who submitted their case for judgment in the Fantasy Full Court.
All right, I'll go first reading out the question. Banksy, I know you were getting a bit hot under the collar with this one. Is it better to trade my bench guys, McVeigh or Bales, to say a Sunday or Warnie, as in Warnie LeBullock, or similar, to improve bench and make a little coin? Or do I trade Yanni and the Bullfrog Martin, I'm presuming that is, for McCall Franks to make cash 200K hoping? It's good, some good England there from Charlie Horse. Mainly looking at the big picture.
Really good question. And the reason I say that is just the way this season has played out compared to others is we're actually seeing our premiums be the cash cows.
Yep.
We don't have those traditional 250K basement bargain players that are making us stacks of cash on the bench. It's not a season like any other season we've seen. So I look, trying to be as humble as I can here, the way I've gone about my team this year, and the reason my value's up at 13 million is I've actually planned my trades around making money through my premiums, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for me, it's what Charlie's quoted there. It's not a large enough upgrade for mine to warrant a trade with those bench guys.
Yep.
Always say court comes first. That's where your points are. And, you know, just what he's mentioned there, going Yanni, who has one game over the next 2 weeks, as does Martin, to McCall and Franks, who have much better schedules, obviously, going forward.
Yep.
And you're already guaranteed pretty much the maximum cash increase you can have from those trades of 100K increase for both of those guys. McCall is set to go up 100K as soon as he steps foot on the court, and we know that Franks is more or less in the same boat. So you're already getting the maximum cash grab that you would get even if those bench increases or bench upgrades went as well as they possibly could. You're already getting that cash grab from upgrading your premiums anyway. Martin wasn't making that much cash, although he looked fairly good on court, and Yanni's going to slow down after he's had a couple of games in the 30s. So you're already getting the cash just from playing the premium trade game anyway. I don't know, Dr. Boyd, where Bales stands right now, but the only thing I can say there is if Bales is out, well, that might change the question a little bit, because ideally you don't want to be rolling with donuts anywhere on court or let alone on your bench, but if it's a cash cow question, then that's where we're making our money with our premium trades this season with the way it works.
I think Bales is out for a little while still at the moment, because it was a pretty bad hamstring, I think it was. But what I would be thinking of, I might put a little bit of A and a little bit of B. If you've got a little bit of cash available, I would be trading up, say, Bales to, if you can wing it, because they're different.
I know where you're going,
but go DJ3J.
Yep, I knew you were going there.
And then upgrade. I'd be taking Franks if you can this week, obviously, because of their triple.
Need a captain.
And McCall only going down to a single is a bit of a tough call. So if you can swing that some way, Charlie Horse, I would be definitely bringing, say, DJ3J in for Bales. And then trying to get Franks in if you can swing it. And segue straight into the next question. Dunny, DJ3J versus Desh as a SESG cash cow.
SESG, I like it. SESG cash cow. DJ3J for me all day long. RJ Hunter out for me means the minutes and heavier reliance on Vasil Jovic is there. Really liked his last game. Obviously had a few rusty games, but that 46 last game, that's going to get his price moving again after a couple of lower scores. But I had a look back. Obviously, again, we say this just about every pod, but you can look back on previous season fantasy scores per player and game logs, but seems like a lifetime ago. But remember, DJ3J, he averaged 30 fantasy points per game over 21 games prior to his injury last season, and he's priced at around 15, and he's only going to build.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to need him at that shooting guard position to play large minutes with Hunter out until they, if they do, sign someone else. But he's going to make money, and that 46 in his rolling scores should see him start to increase in price thereafter. Yep. Desh, for me, I think he scored, don't have it in front of me, I think it was roughly 19.
Yep.
The way I look at him, he's more a lockdown defender. I don't see him being a big cash grab. Okay, yes, they've got a good schedule, but I don't see him increasing too much in price with his role in that squad.
Yeah, I mean, he's only played the one game, and he had a 19. So, but even looking at his averages from previous years, his last three, he's averaged 16, last five, 14. So, yeah, Sunday's a bit of a tough one there. I'm not sure I'd be jumping on the bandwagon yet. I know a lot of people were keen pre-season, but then got injured, etc. I would be probably going DJ3J from Sydney as well, and I have actually had him in my side at some stage this week. Not sure if I will go with it yet, as I'm still playing around with it in the next 24 hours or 22 hours probably, or actually close to more like 21 hours. But yes.
And look, there's some pretty scary scores in there, don't get me wrong. You know, we're looking at the last three games for DJ3J. He had a 7 and an 8 prior to that 46.
Was coming back from an Achilles injury, though.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly, that's my point. He's building, and that 46, that game he looked much better, not just from a scoring perspective, but he also got some defensive stats in the way of steals or blocks that contributed to his score. But as I said, you're looking at a non-injured DJ3J, and he can average you 30 plus, and that's what you want at a price. What is he, 600-odd K at the moment as his dash? So
just under 700.
Yep. Yeah. Answer for me would be DJ3J.
Like it. All right. Next question there, Nathan. Get in early on Bashley, or wait until the round 10 double? Settle down.
Settle down. Told him. Settle down, Nathan. I would definitely be waiting until that round 10 double. As we know, Phoenix very much stacked now.
Yeah.
In that the big man department, they've got the Cheese and Pinot, as we know. Yep. And, you know, that being said, I mean, how many times has, he's played in the league before, but how often has a player come in for their first game in the league, whether it's an import or a new player, and busted out to the point where they must own? It just doesn't happen. And the Phoenix have that single next week, and that's why he's alluding to waiting until the round 10 double.
Yep.
And, you know, Bashley would no doubt be learning the new system at the Phoenix as well.
Yeah. So the other thing I'd say is I remember early on when Bashley was at New Zealand, he did have trouble with fouls. So, you know, that might take a little bit more to come back in his first few games, So his first few games, I know he fouled out. He might have even fouled out a few times even later in the season as well. So let's wait and see there. I think, you know, Sam are pretty stacked at that big spot now. They've got almost, you know, four guys who can play pretty decent minutes there.
And undeniably, he's got more competition at his position at the Phoenix than he did with the Breakers.
Yeah, he did for sure. All right, moving on to the next one. Now, there's probably lots of these questions so coming up this week with their schedule. So let's go with Paddy's first. Thoughts on bringing in XRM, Wrath and Maze, with the Hawks' good schedule coming up?
Well, he's quickly becoming a big six man of the year candidate. That's
on the coverage.
It's all they seem to talk about on the coverage. Obviously, Liam's big on him. Corey's big on him. And without doubt, we've seen that in the last couple of weeks. Fantasy scores of 43 and 32 in his last two. As a result, his price is now trending upwards. You know, he's at a very cheap price in the 800K range. And just based on the amount of games that the Hawks are going to be playing, even if he isn't stellar, he's at the end of the day, he's playing seven games over those 3 weeks. So for me, it's a safe trade. It could be a cash grab if you're going to downgrade someone more expensive on your point guard bench there. And look, even if he, say, goes 30 average across those seven games over the 3 weeks, he's likely still going to outscore some of the PGs averaging 40 in less games. So, you know, I can't see that trade going wrong, even if he's average, you know, around that 30 fantasy points per game because of the cash grab, and he's going to get you very good points because of the amount of games the Hawks are playing.
I like that totally. And if he wasn't just a PG, if he was PGSG, he would probably be this round, this week. But he is not. He's only a PG. And as the boys, the other blokes have joked about previously, I think I've got maybe six PGs in my team. Five. You can only have five, can't you? So I've got five, sorry.
Got them all. Catch them all. I've got one, two, three.
I've got four PGS eligible players.
You got to start looking at the big men board. That's where the points are.
But how can I look? It paid off this week. I kept McCarron as my sixth man, and it's paid off, hasn't it? And now they've got three weeks of doubles. So how could I trade a bloke that just had a 64? He's got three doubles in a row.
Wouldn't be doing that. But look, you know, even this might sound silly, but people are looking for cash. There's no cash cows.
Yep.
I mean, although he's a cash cow, but
we'll talk about that a bit later, maybe.
But all I was going to say is, I mean, a lot of people have Majette still sitting on the bench there, and I mean, he's got three straight games in the 20s. He's losing cash. He's not making cash.
Yep.
You can get a quick 300K trading Majette on the bench down to Rathan Mays, a guy that's scoring better and has more games, and you can put that cash elsewhere.
Don't mind that. All righty. Oh, man, I've lost where we are in the rundown. See, this is
I'll go. I got you. hope Benny's still listening. So we had Keegan. Another question. He sent a couple in. Answer might depend on potential schedule changes and price changes, but could you bring Humphreys in, or is it too early for that? I think, to be fair for Keegan here, I think he might have sent it prior to last night's game. He did.
Prior to Tuesday's game, after last game, I should say.
We absolutely wait. Am I right?
Hey?
Am I right, Boyd? We wait.
We wait.
We wait.
We wait.
What do you score, a seven? It's another reduction in price. And Hump is going to be cheap as chips.
I think he might end up being like one of the highest owned players. I've got a feeling because everyone's starting to think about it. There's so many questions about cash, you know, cash cows, cash grabs, downgrade options, et cetera.
This is how you make your cash this season. It's not a cash cow season. You got to look for the value.
Yep.
And when a guy is so capable as Hump is at pumping out the big scores, we saw it last season, 50s, 60s, continuous weeks. You know, this is a minutes game for Hump right now. As soon as he shakes off this rust and starts playing the minutes, I mean, I don't own him, but I'm definitely, you know, for example, my team to be transparent, I've got Madruk sitting on my bench at center there. He's around that 900K mark. We're going to see Hump at around 700K with a bit of schedule next week. I've got my own Magne, so I just need one of these guys that are cheaper. That's how I'm making cash with a better schedule. Just want to see something from these guys with higher minutes, jump on board, and he's going to be a bargain at some point.
I'll red flag it, though.
Sure.
The Bears playing so well. Tuesday night, he smashed it, as in Bearstow I'm talking about here. You know, like, it's going to be tough for CJ to, you know, I guess feed him more minutes. Feed the Hump 4 minutes while Besto and DJ are sort of getting the job done.
Can I reverse flag here?
Yeah.
Okay. So Besto, balling. I mean,
balling.
We haven't seen him go this well in the league ever, I don't think. He's peaking right now. But is that because Kai Sito and Hump are not playing any minutes?
Yeah, that, it is. But how can you take minutes away from the Bear while he's playing like this? You can't.
Well, I don't think you can I don't think that Bear can keep playing.
Sustain
the minutes and the output that he is right now for his age.
I know. He's looking pretty good. The fittest he's ever been. Touch wood, he stays this fit. We'll see.
Let's revisit this in a few weeks. I just don't see it being sustainable.
The Hump has got at least one cash downgrade coming and possibly even two.
Yep.
Depending on how he goes this round, I would say. So I would be still waiting on the Hump at this stage, but definitely in a couple of weeks, he's something you want to look at for sure. Plug in Maddie. Hold or trade Wetzel, one of the league's best performers, but the New Zealand schedule is toxic.
I think he's a big man.
One word answer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's a big man.
1.3?
I think 1.4. No, he's
1.4, yeah. 1.39. Get rid of him.
Yeah.
You can't have him on a single. He's got it's too much cash sucking
it
up.
It's now one. And he might have sent that question prior to the cancellation, to be fair.
That was today at 4:59 p.m.
Okay, I apologise. But, yeah, one game in 2 weeks, and you've got all these big men, your Sam Froling, your Reeves, your Cooks. You know, you want to be filling those positions up with guys that are on a double. Your Cheese, you can't afford to hold Wetzel, I don't think. Not only that, no, I mean, he's had two games back-to-back now in the 30s.
Yep.
He is probably now overpriced, although he went up 800K this week. If he goes up next week, I think it's – well, he's not going to go up because he's not playing the game, but the following week.
He's 80K up.
It's going to stun his increase. So he's got to go.
Yep. That's it.
Yep.
Tyson, thoughts on Xavier Mumford to replace Martin? Good scoring potential and dual position.
Like it. Point guard, shooting guard. There's not too many of them. 1.12 mil value for me, three doubles in the next four. That's a good trade for mine. As a member, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I like it. He's been in my side as well. I just think there's other options there too now. We talked about, you know, depending on which position you have him in, you've got XRM that we talked about before. We've got seven games for when Mumford's only got the five over the next three rounds. You know, if you're looking at that SG space, you could even throw in JJ there, Jessup, who's been very consistent and around about the same price as Mumford as well.
Mumford have a high ceiling, though.
Higher ceiling, but he's only got five games compared to seven, you know. So you've got to play that numbers game. Seven times, you know, 35, I think Jessup's averaging is going to be more than five times what Mumford's been averaging over the last three. So, or three or five. So, because he's obviously had some low scores in there too. So it's a little bit of a tricky one. But look, I like it, and I like it as a bit of a point of difference as well. So yeah,
like yes it. No. I give it a tick. I'm giving it the tick.
I don't mind it. As I said,
and my side. I think one thing that we have learnt this season is you can't go too heavy on one team. Yes, the Hawks have the great schedule, but even with New Zealand on the triple last week, I was adamant I was not going more than two. And as it stands, I don't have more than two players from the one team in my team because we know what can happen. At any stage, these games can be cancelled due to COVID. So there's only so many. And I'm sure that a lot of people are on Reith, for example, maybe Sam Froling. Mumford, price-wise, don't mind it at all.
Yeah, and even if your team doesn't get covered, a la Cairns, like they had some issues, but now they've been free of it for 2 weeks, I think, but they've had other teams get covered who they're scheduled to play. So then it's still
COVID roulette.
So I think that's a pretty smart rule you've got there, Banksy, in not having any more than sort of two players from each team, unless one of those, you know, you might have a third if it's a bench player that doesn't, you know, if it just sits there as a cheapie on the bench. But I reckon that is a good deal. Watto, who's the best six man from Adelaide or Illawarra? His choices are between Aaron and Bairstow.
No, what did he say? Cam?
Stobie.
Stobie Bairstow.
It has something to do with
Discord power inside. Yeah, inside Discord joke.
It has some sort of power pole reference. or Illawarra, Harvey, or the Grim Reaper.
For me, I don't think he can go wrong. And look, it comes down to your team, but he's saying six-man spots, so I guess it doesn't. Reith and McCarron can't go wrong with either. Reith, double threat. Amazing schedule, better than McCarron's, but McCarron looked a triple-double threat in that last game as well, didn't he? I think he was a couple of assists short of that elusive triple-double. That could have been huge for you climbing the rankings.
Buddy. We're still good, to just hold on to him, to be honest.
I know, so a bit of inside info. Yeah, I know early on I called it in our chat and you just finished, I think, playing your own local basketball game down at Frankston there, and you said, don't tell me, I'm watching it on replay. So, spoiler alert. We know Bairstow has been awesome, and his price is right up there now. But for me, my opinion, comes with a flag. There was no red minutes flag. For the other Adelaide bigs. Humps he's too good not to get minutes. I know you're saying you can't take minutes away from him.
I agree.
He has to take minutes away from him.
I agree.
Hump is a elite center when healthy and when he's shaken off that rust.
Yep.
They didn't sign Kay Soto just to sit on the bench and play 0 minutes. I don't know why he didn't play any minutes last game.
Yeah, weird
at
one.
Some point, he's going to have to play some minutes, and they've got to come from somewhere. Play all the minutes.
Maybe there was some sort of COVID protocol there that we're not aware of. They didn't allude to it on the coverage. So
yep.
Not too sure there. But, yeah, I think that's a weird one because he's even been quoted, CJ, saying that, you know, he's going to be getting minutes. So it was a bit of a weird one there.
Harvey's a unique. Harvey's
definitely unique.
He's one I'm considering. I need a shooting guard. I need a shooting guard. And he's a unique with the schedule, obviously. 7 games in 3 weeks. So, you know, I guess Watto's wanting us to kind of rank them there. You tell me what you think. But if I am ranking them, I'm likely going Reef, double threat. Obviously, defensive numbers can be there. Best schedule out of the Adelaide and Illawarra players. McCarron, from what we saw, triple-double threat. I'd put him in at 2. Harvey, the go-to on the offensive end for Illawarra, with that schedule would be my 3. And I have question marks and flags over the sustainability of Bairstow's play.
Plus he's up there in the price now, isn't he?
He is.
I think he's up, what is he, at 1.32 mil. So, I think there's a red flag there.
One I think we've got to mention there that Watto hasn't. I think Don't do it yet.
No, do it. Okay. I think I'm bringing it.
I'm sure. I knew it. I knew you were going to hide this. I knew it. Sam Frohling. Okay. So you're talking about the team with the greatest schedule over the next 3 weeks, 7 games in 3 weeks. And we're not speaking about the guy that now has the highest average from the Hawks.
Yep.
He's averaging 52 fantasy points over his last 5 and 49 on the season. That is better than Reith. That is better than Harvey. That is better than Cleveland.
Yep.
With the best schedule.
And he's also a dual position player too.
So if you're talking 6-man, I don't know what you can afford there, Watto, but if you want a unique at 5% and a guy that is averaging the most from the team with the most games over the next 3 weeks, that's definitely one to consider.
While you mention him, let's go. I'm going to skip the little rundown thing here, and I'm going to go straight to Dylan G's question because you mentioned a name there. Trade in Cooks, Cheese, or Sam Frohling this week?
Well, that's tough, isn't it? I don't know. I'm biased here because I've held Cooks all season pretty much.
Yep.
I think Cheese has some question marks. I know he's heavily owned. A lot of people have been holding him through this COVID disaster. Bashley, we haven't seen him play there, and we saw last week, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, obviously Cheese was in a bit of foul trouble. I did not see that Phoenix game, but as far as I heard from you and Benny, there was a bit of ISO play that sort of forced him into foul trouble. Is there any flags heading into a double this week for the Cheese?
Well, look, he was in foul trouble early, but then he rode out the rest of the game without it, which was a bit weird. I think he had 2 or 3 in the second quarter, and so he was off, obviously. But then I don't think he didn't get another foul for the rest of the game. And fouls, yeah, so I don't know. It's a bit of a tough one.
Adjustment saved him too. Lucky those couple of blocks were picked up because he was sitting on a 10 or 11, I think, and got adjusted up to 19 and still got the 100K rise, but I don't know how much longer we're going to see that with the 19 in his rolling scores.
I think Brisbane did their work on him and they played the bigger guys against him. So Brisbane obviously have got Big Lou and they have Jack Salt, who's another massive unit. So they played those two guys probably, I think, more than we've sort of seen previously. I think at least to start the game or earlier in the game. And I guess I don't know. It looked to me like they kind of had a game plan in there against the Big Cheese, and it worked. And now, will other teams copy that? Some teams don't have the manpower. So if you're talking about, let's say, the JJs, they don't have the bigs to do it.
Yeah. Should have a field day.
Perth, you know.
But then, do they play small ball because there's no big for him to play on? When you know.
Well, I don't think that's worked against them either. I don't think that's worked against Cheese yet. Anyway, his points per minute still right up there. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. With Bashley coming in now too, you think maybe Bashley's just going to get the minutes that, say, Smith-Milner was getting. And then they had Steve Taylor get some minutes as well on the weekend, almost 5 minutes there too. So that's 15 minutes between Smith-Milner and Taylor. Does you know, Bashley just get those minutes, and it's sort of, but then there's more minutes for obviously the Cheese as well, because he only played the 17. There's just too much unknown there, to be honest.
And maybe I'm biased. I'm a non-owner, but I've been monitoring him very closely because as far as my squad's concerned, I feel he's the big name I don't have that a lot of others up there do. But look, this isn't unexpected, and it's a little bit of a flag, but I wouldn't be overly concerned if I was an owner, because we saw this in the preseason. There is going to be games where he gets in foul trouble, but then there's going to be games where he gets a double-double and seven blocks. So he's got the ceiling, and I think you just got to ride it out as an owner. You're going to have these big games, but you're going to have these foul imposed games as well, and you just got to focus on what he's going to average over the journey. But as a non-owner, I'm happy to probably, because I've got other bigs that are filling my court with doubles already, I'm not too worried about trading him in. That's not what my team requires this week, especially when Cheese has a single next week. So, I'm happy to sort of monitor and see what happens with Ashley in next week.
Cooks over Cheese, you're saying at the moment?
For me, yeah.
Cook is Froling over Cheese.
Oh, this is hard. No, I'm going to say yes.
You'd say Froling, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just. It's Border.
And then Sam Froling or Cooks?
I'm going Cooks.
Okay.
Look, undeniably, Froling has been amazing. But I also just get this gut feel it's a bit of a purple patch.
Yep.
And I also feel that, look, from the two games I watched the Hawks play on the weekend, Froling was smashing the boards. And at some point, I just naturally feel that it's going to be Reith's turn.
So just using averages alone, Froling, you should expect, say, something along the lines of 340 points from him over the next 3 weeks, whereas at Cook's averages, you're only looking at something along the lines of 260-odd. It's a big difference. Now,
my gut just says it doesn't mean they're going to get that average,
but I'm just saying, just looking at the numbers purely, five games makes a huge difference compared to seven games when they're averaging similar numbers. I know they're not, you know, Cooks' average is slightly higher and maybe Froling's comes down a little bit, but even so, you know, dividing that 260-odd by, which you could maybe expect from Cooks, Froling only needs to average around about 37.5 over his seven games, and based on his current output, you'd think he does that easily, wouldn't you?
You would think so. All right. And he's unique, 5%.
While we're still talking, Sam Froling, how many Hawks players should we target, and who are the top three from Bucks? Let's go quickly because we've
talked enough about the Hawks. So, Froling, Reith. I mean, if you're purely looking at the averages and the form, Froling's there. Reith, obviously the other big, now quite highly owned, but has a ceiling, big double double threat. I think he can take over some of Froling's rebounds at any point. Did not like that Reith was benched in the stretch last game. Oh, coin toss, Harvey Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean,
who you going? Harvey or Cleveland? Which one?
Look, I've got Cleveland, so I'm biased. I don't think I can answer it.
All right, I'm going Harvey.
I like Harvey, but he's more expensive. You know, he's 1.4, isn't he? 1.45, something like that.
Depends on what position you need.
And if you got the cash, I do not have the cash. So I just can't. 1.37 he is. I can't slot him in there. Let's not suggest that Banks would be doing something similar to this, but if you were to, say, bring Sobey in for this week on the triple and then go down the Harvey, then I think that makes absolute sense.
Why don't we have both? Maybe I'll get Harvey and Cleveland.
Oh, righto. I like anyway, it.
Who knows?
So we did Keegan's about Cheese, didn't we, really? We answered that.
So what has he got there?
No, we answered about Cheese in that last question. Whoops. Oh, well. Keegan, we did answer your question. Cheese.
Just quickly cover up. Other factors, what seems like two easy matchups for Phoenix?
Yep.
other handy match. Yeah, we've covered off.
Covered all that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Frolings, someone's asked us, Bradus, about Harry Froling. Is he worth a bench test?
Don't do it. Just don't. I brought him in last season, and it was the week that he was in the doghouse with the coach. He looked really good, put on 2 or 3 weeks of really good scores, and then starting the second half of the first game I brought him in, coach put him in the doghouse, and he was seeing no minutes. Playing behind his brother, who is absolutely bawling out.
Yep.
And Reef.
They did play together a little bit the other day as well, the two Frolings. It's good to see.
I don't know.
Both of them playing. Huge heads they've got, both of them. Just
that's a bit rough coming from you, but yeah, I mean, I just, right. You know what? Just answer that one. He's got He's got a score of six,
yep.
And he's got some scores in the team. It's not enough for me.
All right, Ruby, Cleveland or Lamar?
Go the Cav. Two more games over the next three.
Yeah, but if you've got the luxury that you can have Lamar this week and then trade him out, I'd almost be going Lamar.
Oh, I think in these COVID times, it's just tying up a trade.
Yep.
You're tying up two trades there.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to go long term, like as I said, I'm a Cleveland owner already, and I'm glad I brought him in last week because he did okay. And it's good.
And he's very consistent. He does not have a poor score yet. He's sort of always in that 30-40 mark.
He's a bit of a whinger to me. He does whinge about non-foul calls and that sort of stuff a little bit too much.
So if he's getting me fantasy points, he can whinge as much as he wants.
I don't like that, and I'm not sure if Gorge likes that sort of stuff. So that worries me re-minutes. If he keeps whinging, like do his minutes get...
He's passionate.
A little bit. Yeah, but there's passion, then you got to get back on D-mate sometimes. Like, there's a couple of times where he turned the ball over, and he was carrying on about the foul, you know, not getting the foul call, and the ball was already up the other end, you know. You're like, mate, you need to keep your head in the game. Anyway, Cleveland with two more games over the next three, we sort of said there. Another question for Keegan, Cleveland or Agata? I think that answers itself after the last question.
Let's round it off with a question from a
young fella. I think he's been a fan for some time. Goes by the name of Benny.
Straight from under the doona.
Straight from under the doona.
Potentially.
Well, good luck to him if he's under the doona. One question for me with Kai Sito. Yeah, there's a little bit of a clever pun there.
We've still got a Benny pun in there.
Always got to get his puns in.
Yeah, loves it.
Not playing and no cheapy cash cows. Who's the cheapest player in each position that you would consider your team complete? Keywords complete there, Banksy. Now, we've all been going a fair chunk.
Sounds a bit lazy to me, Benny.
Short.
All right.
PG.
We've probably covered off some of these. So
yep.
PG, we're not talking the cheapest. We're talking the cheapest you would have. XRM.
Beautiful. If in a couple of weeks when he comes back, what's the other option?
Scotty Machado.
They're the two you'd be looking at, the PG for. And you know what? The Civ's another one because he's still reasonably cheap.
Good.
So I'm going to throw Civ in there as a third.
Third, yep. Schedule V price, those top two are underpriced with a good schedule.
Yep. SG's another one we've probably covered a fair bit today.
DJ 3J.
Yeah, I think he's the cheap option at present.
If you need a cheapie.
Yep.
What about otherwise, you spend up. Munford's the other option.
Yeah, Munford.
We're talking cheapies, though. He's what about DJ 3J?
Well, Jessup's cheaper than Munford at the moment with the schedule.
You're big on him, aren't you? You're big on...
Well, I think he's been fairly consistent. That's the thing, and he's got seven games compared to five. So,
I would probably
go on him. But that's that next range where they're sort of $1 million. Whereas DJ 3J is still sub.
He's a cheapie. You need a cheapie cash cow. Yep.
Small forward.
I'll let you go this one because these are the names you put down.
I've put in there as Brad Newley. Now he's cheap and he's not scoring that well, but I've put him in there as a dollar per point. Option. And I think he's only about 440K or something along those lines, and he's only averaging 10 or something. But if you want to write a position off, like if you just want to keep, if you have the ability to just keep him in newly in that small forward bench spot and not worry about having to bring anyone, you know, bring him in and risk playing him on even when they're on doubles, etc., then I think he's one you can sort of write off and just he's getting minutes every game. I think I had it in there. He's averaging 15 minutes a game, you know, it's had a couple of games where he was down a little bit, but the rest of them he's been up around that 15, 10, 15, etc. So I'd be, you know, he's a possible real downgrade option if you're looking to just throw away a position.
It's a real downgrade. I'd almost rather keep McVay at this stage.
Fair enough. The other ones are Bill Cole and Cairns, noting that they've basically played no games, so they're going to have another 400 games to go. And he's been getting good minutes and putting up good numbers with Machado gone. Does he still continue to get those numbers? I think so for a little while. I think my understanding, Dr. Boyd's understanding, is that Jerick was still a little while away, I think. So he would possibly be the risk of that coming in and taking some minutes. But while Cole is performing, I think he still gets minutes, even when Machado comes back.
Well, at this stage, he's actually a cash cow.
Yep.
I know a lot of people, before all the cancellations a couple of weeks ago, people were big on him.
Yep.
31 and 35 in his last two, and priced at just the 465K. So, you know, you can expect some increases over the next couple of weeks for him when they play. If you're looking for a downgrade target, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep, like that. All right, power forward. Well, you go with your one first.
Well, I've said it over the past couple of weeks. I traded him out very early. That was more when he absolutely made me look like a fool and burnt me when I think it was around two is my number one captain, and that is two-way Magne. Mm-hmm. He's, what, 700-odd K now with a decent schedule coming up. But I want to see – and this is what I'm doing. Yeah. 800, is it? Okay. But, again, I think if I was big on him at his higher price, then it's one to monitor at the lower price. Again, if you can get a player like even a Majuk that, you know, you've got to play around with the flexibility of the dual positions there. But if you can, again, downgrade to a guy that's on the rise, if Magnus is on the rise, the minutes are building closer towards 30 minutes a game. And, you know, we did start to see a little bit from him prior to all these cancellations with the JJs. Then he's just one I've got my eye on, whether it's him or Hump. I'm just looking at these underpriced big men that I could downgrade other cash cows down to and put that cash to better use when we know that they're on the rise. Because we know Magne and Hump, they're better than what we've seen so far.
Yep, don't mind that. Mine's a bit of a controversial one. I've actually gone Majuk Deng. The question was around about consider your team complete. Who's the cheapest player in that option? So there's a few options there now around that Majuk Deng price, which is like Jack White. Even Pete from Melbourne United.
Forgot about Jack.
The reason why I've gone Majuk Deng as well is because their schedule, you know, as it stands, after, let's say, this round and the next, they're going to have 20 games remaining compared to even, you know, Melbourne United are only going to have 17, you know. So there's a big difference there. And, you know, if you can afford to just keep Majuk in there, there's going to be some doubles. I mean, we've seen him this already have a 60 this year. So, you know, he can put up some good scores. I think he's had a hit of run of, you know, done, had found some form. And I think he's, you know, if you've got the ability to make your team complete and you've got the money to do it, then maybe I think he's kind of an option.
And I'm glad you said Jack White, because honestly, that's one that I forgot about. But, you know, we're talking about DJ3J, which had single-digit fantasy score games in two of his last three and really only showed something in that last game. Yes, Jack White is a bit more expensive, but he's been now back five games and he's already averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah.
You know, he's very active in the minutes that he's on the court from what I've seen.
Yep.
14 and 11 in his last game, double-double, 55 points. So just one to watch, depending on how that schedule is going to pan out, because I think in the long term, United's schedule is just going to be just about as good as Cairns, because they've got a string of singles after this week as well.
Not quite. Yeah, not quite. After we're saying at the moment, post round 11, they've got 15 compared to Cairns' 18. And in rounds 10 and 11, Cairns are on double. So you could say after round 9, Cairns have got 20 games to go, whereas Melbourne United have only got the 17.
Yeah, right. Okay, important.
Oh, sorry. Cairns have got 22 games to go, should I say. Quick maths is a bit slow there.
There's going to have to be some triples
22
in there,
games
surely.
Compared to 17.
For them to get these games in, Cairns are going to have to have some triples.
You'd think so. Well, definitely. they're going to have, they've got 18 games to do. Oh, not quite. They've got 18 games to go in 9 rounds, so they'll have to average a double.
Average a double, yeah. That's good. That's
which nice. Makes it pretty juicy, whereas other teams, there's a team such as Sydney. Sydney in the last 9 rounds are only going to have 13 games, so that's only 4 doubles.
Yep, yeah. And look, just what you've said there is how you're going to make your cash this year. I've had Cooks pretty much through, and as soon as, after these next few weeks, we're likely going to see Sydney's schedule taper down.
Yep.
I can downgrade him to someone close to the $1 million mark with an awesome schedule like that, and put that cash to better use.
All right, I think the centre position is one we've already talked about a little bit already tonight, and that's the Hump.
Hump / Magnay, yep.
So that rounds us out there. I think, we've carried on in Benny's absence pretty well tonight.
Hopefully we've done Benny proud. I hope he's feeling better.
I'm not sure he'll be proud. But
he may
depends
be.
Depends how good I am at editing and getting all these bloody clips in that he does. As always, we are on Twitter at @bball_blokes. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Basketball Blokes, or the number one source of NBL fantasy news and information. Banksy's already quoted it today. I think even I did when we were talking about the schedule. www.basketballblokes.com. Until next week, stay classy. We'll